Well, good morning. It's a joy to be back at New Testament. We haven't been here for, I guess it's 3 or 4 years, just before COVID hit, we were able to be here and certainly missed fellowshipping with you folks. I don't know what to do. I got this phone call some time ago from Brother McLean, and he asked if I would be able to come and preach. And when I showed up, he left. And that kind of bothered me. And then Brother Tricky went in the hospital, and I don't think I'll be invited back. So we're going to make whatever we can today to do the best we can. Let me encourage you to do one thing for me, if you will, after the service this morning. If you could stop back and just pick up one of our prayer cards and put it somewhere where you could pray for us on a regular basis, we would appreciate that. We do a lot of traveling, and we're excited about that. But by the same token, we can use the prayers of God's people along the way, and we're thankful. And then let me encourage you to do this. On the table back there is one little slip of paper. It's how to pray effectively for your missionaries. And this is a wonderful little thing. It was written by our previous president of the mission board, Dr. Gene Burge. You're all probably familiar with him. And he has done this, and it is really an effective way to pray for your missionaries. And also you can use it to pray for your preacher as well. And we're thankful for it. I have had the privilege of serving on Baptist Missions to Forgotten People's board for 32 years as a board member. I pastored two churches, so I was a latecomer. I was in the Navy for 15 years, and then the Lord saved us and called us into the ministry, and so we kind of got a little late start in pastoring, but I pastored one church for 9 years, and then I just retired from Harvest Baptist Church in Hagerstown, Maryland, after pastoring for 25 years, and then the Lord opened this door for us to serve with Baptist Missions, and what a joy it's been to get involved in going around and trying to encourage missionaries and keep them serving on the field, as well as preaching in some Bible colleges and conferences and things of this nature. And it's a joy just serving the Lord, isn't it? Aren't you glad you're saved this morning? Aren't you glad heaven's your home? Well, I'll tell you, last night that storm was blowing, the wind was blowing, and I said, boy, I'm so glad that I can just rest in the wonderful knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We've been treated well. I can't believe we've been spoiled by Miss Flo out at the reserve. And just enjoying the time out there. She took us around yesterday and traveled with us and kind of gave us a overview of what was out there. And it's just an amazing thing. You have some wonderful people here. I've got to meet some of them this morning and look forward to meeting more of them as we're here today. We thank you. I do ask you to pray for your preacher. To be away and to preach. I know his heart's always in his home church. That's his heart. But the Lord uses him in a wonderful way. And so you pray for him as he's preaching there. And I know the Lord will use him greatly. Well, it's wonderful to be here. Glad to be here this morning. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, would you take them and turn with me to Luke chapter 10? I believe we're getting ready to your missions month is starting. And this is kind of a prelude to it. And so I was talking with Brother Tricky when he called and your pastor, and they wanted me to kind of kick off the missions month. And so this morning what I want to do is I want to share with you the why you're going to have a missions month. Why do we take time out of the church's schedule and everything else and to invest and put an emphasis on missions? Why is that? This afternoon, when we gather back, I'm going to tell you, maybe share with you the how to do it, what is involved in accomplishing what the Lord wants you to do. So if you have your Bibles, and we do this years and years and years ago, I just believe this is the way to do it. If you can, physically, would you stand to your feet as I read the scripture, and then I'll have prayer, and then you may be seated. Thank you. If you'll turn back to Luke chapter 9, and starting in verse, starting in verse number 57, And it says, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, verse chapter 10. And after these things, the things that we've just read, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Let's pray, shall we? Our Father, once again, I thank you for this time together. I thank you for these that have gathered this morning in the idea of worshiping and praising you. I thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness. And Lord, as they begin now this month of missions with an emphasis on reaching a world that's lost and yet without Christ. And Lord, I pray that through these next few weeks, you would enlarge their vision and give them a greater burden that greater things can be accomplished for the cause of Christ. Lord, we pray for this morning. Ask, Lord, again that Holy Spirit, you'd fill us, anoint us, guide us, guard us, use us, I pray, in the next few moments. And we'll praise you. We thank you and all that you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. In chapter 9, at the end of it, we find, of course, the Lord speaking, and this is really the high cost of discipleship, of turning the world behind and serving the Lord. It takes some dedication, it takes some faithfulness, and it takes a burden to do that. And I think the reason is, as you read through those excuses there, you'll find that literally that's kind of where we are in the world today. There's a carelessness, an unconcern for the lost around us in most cases. Most people are going through their daily motions and daily routines without even one thought of eternity or what lie beyond this life. And then Jesus comes now to this chapter 10, and he shares with these ones that he's about to send out. He says, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. He says, therefore, pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest would send laborers into his harvest. Did you know that since 1970, we've lost about 70% of our missionary force? Some of that is due to age, I understand that, and some of it's due to illness and sickness. But a lot of it is due to just getting discouraged in the work of the Lord. But the harvest still remains to be great, and there is a great need for reaching a world. And by the way, the vision of your reaching your world ought to start right here in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, reaching those that are around us. And I'm thankful for this church as a lighthouse in this area. As we look at this passage, though, this morning in verse chapter 10, verse number 2, I want us to see three things about why you have a missions conference. Why do you take time out to bring in some missionaries to let them share their burden? Why do you take the time to think about faith promise and giving above and beyond what you can normally give and what you normally give so that you can help support missionaries in this endeavor? Why do we do that? And why do you do that? What is the emphasis? Well, I think the Lord covers it here in verse number 2 of chapter 10. He first of all shares with them the immensity of a mission, the ministry itself. Did you know that in this world today, the population right now is reaching 8 billion people? By by 2050, it is projected that there's going to be close to 10 billion people. And there are over 300, on an average, 385,000 people born every day. Every one of those 385 people are lost because of their nature, born that way. Amen? They need to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the mission truly is great. It's an immense trying to reach that number of people. First of all, I think it's immense in its scope. When you consider the scope of reaching a world that's lost and dying. Someone once said this, that if we could stop the birth rate and the death rate, in other words, right now at 8 billion people, no more births, no more deaths, we just keep it there, and we could win one person every second to the Lord, it would still take us 263 years to win the world to Christ. That's an immense thought. That's an immense thought, the scope of it. The Lord is considering here, of course, the every human soul in the entire world, in the entire world. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, every human being." Someone once estimated that there is still 3/4 of the world that have never heard a clear-cut presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. 3/4. Think of that. That's over 6 billion people that have yet never heard one time about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for them. You know, we sit here today, and boy, aren't we thankful that somebody cared enough to share the gospel with us? Aren't we glad this morning that we have our sins forgiven and we're prepared for eternity and a place called heaven? Aren't you glad today that somebody knocked on your door or handed you a tract or invited you to church, or someone, maybe even a parent that was led to the Lord and had an influence? And yet, 3/4 of the world today yet has never heard the gospel. It's an immense in its scope. It's also immense in the value. The Lord is speaking here, of course, of the eternal souls, the immortal souls of those that he has created and that he loves and that he cares for. What can we compare to the worth of a soul? In Mark chapter 8, verse 36 and 37, it says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" The Bible says that there's nothing more valuable than the soul of a human being. That is the most important and valuable thing. And so when we think about reaching a world, when you give to missions, when you invest those dollars, you're investing in something that's more valuable than anything else that you could put your money in. You know, I don't know how it is here, but in the States, we're going through this problem with some banks collapsing and the stock market going up and down. And boy, people are worried and concerned and all the rest of it. And certainly, I understand that. But I want you to understand, when you give your money to missions and you're putting a missionary on the field and they're winning people to Christ, and you're putting something that's more valuable than all the money of all the world. And one day, what a joy it's going to be when we stand in heaven. It's immense in the value of it. The Lord himself placed more value upon a human soul than all of the possessions and all of the riches that this world has. What a joy it is to be able to lead somebody to Christ. I don't know of a greater joy that a person can have as a Christian than to go knock on a door and have your New Testament and to witness to a person and to see that person come under conviction and then to bow their head and to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I believe that is one of the greatest joys, because that is something, I may never see those people again here on this earth, but one day in heaven, praise the Lord, we're all going to be together. It's immense in its scope of reaching a world that's populated as it is. And then it's immense in its value. And then notice, I think also, that it's immense when you consider the time. You know, there's a limited time and a limited opportunity that we have. That's why Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. I have to be doing it. This is something I cannot delay on. I want you to understand, I'm here today to just preach a little bit about missions, but I would hope that maybe somebody in this congregation this morning might feel a tug on their heart saying, you know what, I ought to surrender, make myself available. That doesn't mean God's going to call you. But it ought to be that you're available, you're willing, you're going to do whatever it is God can help you to do in a matter of reaching somebody for the cause of Christ. It's immense in its and a value, and it's immense in the time that we have to reach a world. I've been following the things happening in the world, you know, with Russia and China and certainly all the situations, the economies up and down, where, you know, we're just wondering what's going to happen. I believe, and I'm not a date setter, and I'm not one that's a prophet to tell that this is going to happen on a certain day, but I do believe we're getting very close to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it. And I believe this fact, that if we're not about the Father's business, if we aren't willing to start reaching people and putting a burden on it, then we're going to lose out in the end when we stand before the Lord someday. We must be about the Father's business. Time is getting short. Truly, the mission is immense when you think of all the people of all the world who have never yet heard one time of the Lord Jesus Christ and his desire to give them eternal life. And yet, we're losing. People are dying every day. And what a horrible thing. So it's immense in the mission. And secondly, it's insufficient in the manpower. Notice again in our verse of Scripture, verse number 2. He says, therefore he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. The laborers are few. As I mentioned just a little while ago, since 1970, we've lost 70%. Of our missionary force. We're losing instead of increasing. One college I heard of just recently, a Baptist Bible college, and out of their graduate students of 70, I think there were 3 that were even going into the ministry. And so we're losing out. And so we need to be involved in it. Manpower. We need manpower. Every place is hiring today. I don't know about here, but in the States, every place you go, there's we're hiring, we're hiring, we're hiring. All right, nobody wants to work. Well, the fact is that we ought to be about the Father's business. It's involved in a ministry. If you're saved today, God has called you into the wonderful world of telling somebody about Christ. It's insufficient when you think of manpower compared to the need of the world. Think about this. China has 1.4 billion people. India has 1.4 billion people. Canada, from what I could find on the internet, has about 38 million people. And yet, how many works are there here in Canada, solid, conservative, Bible-believing works, reaching 38 million people? The purpose of every ministry, I believe, is to reach out and to win somebody to Christ. Out of 23 fundamental conservative mission boards that I surveyed when I became the international field representative, they stated together, now listen to this, they stated that together, as we added it all up, there were about 2,600 missionary families on foreign fields serving the Lord. 2,600. If you multiply that by 4, if you had a family of 4, a husband, wife, and then 2 children on an average, that would be just about 10,000 on a foreign field to reach 8 billion people. That's conservative mission boards. It's insufficient compared to the need. In Asia and Pacific, when I just talked about the 1.5 billion people in China, 1.5 billion people in India, in Asia itself, in the Pacific, there's only 565 fundamental independent Baptist missions still trying to serve the Lord. And so we must be praying. We must be investing. We must encourage. You know, I think today, and please don't get mad at me if I say this, I'm not trying to stir up problems, I'm just trying to help. But there was a day in our history when parents would encourage their children to go into the ministry. It was a blessing to have somebody in the family become a preacher or a missionary or something, and it was exciting for that. But yet now it seems like the tendency is we want them to be professionals. We want them to be home. We want them to be doctors and lawyers and businessmen and to stay around the house. And listen, I've got two daughters, and I would love to have them live next door. I've got six grandchildren that they grew up without us being around. I'd love to have them next door. But I'm glad they're serving where God has called them to serve. And what we need to do is realize when I get to heaven, I'll spend all eternity with them. So I guess that's not bad. But the fact is we need to be looking. What can we do? It's insufficient compared to the need. We need to be out there. We need to be encouraging our young people to pray and say, Lord, here am I. Send me. That doesn't mean God's going to send you. That doesn't mean God's going to call you. But to be willing to do it. When I was in the Navy, I joined the Navy right out of high school, and I was going to serve just 4 years and get out, but I found out that I liked it, and I was enjoying what I was doing, and so I decided to make it a career. And while we were stationed in Iceland, we were there for 3 years, and we started attending the chapel program, trying to get our two daughters to get some religious training and education, and so we'd send them to the chapel program, and then we started going. And so we got into the habit of kind of attending church and all the rest. When we were transferred back to the States, and we found a church, and it just happened to be an independent fundamental Baptist church. And about 3 months or 6 months after we were there, and the Lord showed us that, yes, we looked good, we smelled good, we were working with teenagers and leading some of the music in the church and all the rest, and yet we were lost, and God began to work in our heart, and we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Now, I was going to make the Navy a career. At that time, I had about 5 more years, and then I could have retired, and that would have given me a check coming in every month, and some medical benefits and all the rest. My goal was to retire. By that time, my daughters would have been graduating from high school and either in college or whatever. And I was going to plan to my wife and I to buy an RV, and we were going to travel the country and see all the good things and just enjoy life. Well, God had a different plan. After I got saved, it was only just a little while, and God began to speak to me about getting into the ministry. And boy, we prayed. We said, Lord, I want to retire from the Navy. That help, that money would really be a blessing. The Lord said, no, this is when I want you to go. And so we took our discharge, got out with 15 years in the military. And when we got out, we received nothing. We had no income. We had no medical benefits. But you know what? We've never missed a day of anything. Every payment has been paid. Our two daughters went through Christian school and Christian college and had their bills paid. And as you can tell, I'm not starving. I am well fed. And the Lord is blessed. You see, the fact is, God will take care of you. If you're in His will, He will take care of you. And the Lord does. But the need is there. And where need, we need to be able to just say, Lord, would you use me? Then I think it's also insufficient, the manpower, when you consider the opportunity. When you consider the opportunity. You know, we live here in this wonderful country of North America, and our lifespan is well beyond what the rest of the world is. Well beyond it. And when we see what we have. When you think that there's over 63, on an average, 6,300 people slip out into eternity each hour. 6,000 people slip out into eternity every hour. That's 151,000 every day that slip out into eternity. Time's getting short. And we must be out there. Think about the, I'm sure you have a hospital here in Hamilton, and possibly in that hospital today, in that ICU, there may be someone who is right now on the very edge, a verge of going out into eternity. And every time I pass a hospital, the first thing I think about is I wonder if there's somebody in there that will not be alive in the next few hours. And I wonder if anybody's ever shared with them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Time's growing short. We have this mindset that we can sit back and we can say, boy, you know, we got all the time in the world to do things. You know, we can plan. We make plans for everything. Our vacations, we look ahead. My wife and I are getting ready to go to England. We have a couple of missionaries over there that we need to go and try to encourage a little bit. And we'll be leaving there the end of next month, going over to England for 2 weeks. And we're planning, making plans. But I want you to understand, the Lord could come back tomorrow. The opportunity is there, and now is the time. Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 20 says, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. We're getting close to that end. I went to Germany years ago with a good friend of mine. He used to come here, Brother Don Smith. I don't know if any of you remember him. Brother Don was a fellow pastor in our area, and I got to know him. We went to Germany together, and I got up one morning and went out to the little breakfast area in the hotel that we were staying in. There was Brother Don. He had his computer open, and he was going through it. I said, what you doing, brother? He said, I'm reading the obituaries from home. And I said, what? He said, yeah, I go through the hometown paper every day, and I look at the obituaries to see if any of the people that I knew have passed away. And then as I read through those obituaries, I want to find out if they were Christians and saved or not. And I thought to myself, wow, he's reading through that, looking at the obituaries, being burdened over people that had passed. We ought to be that burdened over people that are still alive and still needing it. The opportunity is there. And then, you know, when you think of the manpower, the insufficiency of it, and it's compared to a need that's out there with the multitudes of people still heading to a crisis eternity, it's insufficient when you consider the opportunities that are there to reach them. Now is the time. We've got printed page, television, radio. We've got everything in the world that we can do. And the fact is we ought to be out reaching them. Can you tell me, in Canada, can you just drop a tract in the mailbox? You don't have to mail it. You can just stick it in a mailbox here. In the States, we can't do that. You have to mail them in. But look at the opportunity that you have. You could just go into your neighborhood and put tracts in every mailbox. And boy, you never know what those tracts can do. Somebody could get saved off of that, the opportunity. But it's also, when you think of it, it's insufficient when you compare it to the reward that's available. You know, God promises richly to reward those who labor for the souls of others. Take your Bibles with you, do this with me. Turn to Mark chapter 10. I was going to read it, but I want you to see it. Mark chapter 10. And look at verse number 29. It says, and Jesus answered and said, verily, I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the gospels, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life. Did you see that the promise here, if we are willing to say, Lord, here am I, use me, send me, give, let me be whatever you want me to be, the promise here is that God says he's going to reward those that are willing to do it for the gospel's sake, for the reaching of a world and doing what God wants us to do. You know, the reward is greater than the effort and the labor. I already mentioned about getting out of the Navy, and I've never missed a meal. God has blessed us above all things, and he continues to do so because he's honored what we've done. Dr. David Livingston, the wonderful old missionary that went to Africa, said this: if a commission by an earthly king is considered a great honor, how can a commission by a heavenly king be considered a sacrifice? How, when God calls us to do something for him, we can say, oh, that's just too hard, I'm going to sacrifice. Now listen, it's a great honor to serve the Lord. Isn't it a great honor to be a Christian? I mean, to be a child of God, to be in the family of God, to know that we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and one day, whatever the Lord receives, we're going to receive an equal share. What a blessing that is. What an exciting potential, the place of heaven that he's preparing for us. It's an exciting thought to be a part of that. I want you to understand, how can anything that I do for the Lord be considered a sacrifice? It's an honor. It's a blessing to be able to give to missions. It's a blessing to be able to serve the Lord in whatever capacity that he's called us to do. It's needed. Yes, the immensity of the mission. It's an immense mission, trying to reach a world that's lost and yet dying. Yes, it's insufficient concerning the manpower, and we need to fill in the ranks. We need to have more. But notice also, the Lord doesn't stop there. Back in our text in Luke, if you look at it in that passage, and I'm trying to get back there. In Luke chapter 10, he says this: the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Now here's the key method that he gives us to incorporate to solve the problem. He says, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. That is the key method that the Lord has given us, is to pray. It is to pray for those, that, just as we saw today, the wonderful family in Mexico that's doing a great job down there reaching those Mennonite people. And what a thrill it is to have a part of that. And every soul that they reach, you're getting a benefit from that. You're having a part of that when you get to heaven. And so, but to pray for the missionaries that you already have, but to pray that the Lord will send in others. The key method of filling the ranks for laborers is prayer. The key method of motivating others to go into the fields and harvest is prayer. And this is what Jesus said, pray ye therefore. Why? Because the laborers are few and the mission is great. And so we're to pray therefore what we're to do. Why are we to pray? What's the importance of prayer? Well, it does three things. Prayer shows that we're aware of the need. When I heard yesterday that Brother Trickey had gone into the hospital, we prayed for him. Why did we do that? Because we were aware there was a need for his physical well-being. We prayed. And when you hear of people that are sick and you become aware of the need, maybe a financial problem, maybe a family situation in the church or whatever, you pray. Why? Because you're wanting God to answer. You're become aware. It shows that you're aware of the need. And when we pray for missionaries, when we pray for someone to go and out of our midst, or Lord, here am I, send me, and we're praying, Lord, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to get involved in? Then it's making us aware. It helps us to be aware that there is a need. My petitions demonstrate that I am what I'm most concerned over. When you think about your prayer time and what you pray for on a regular basis, and if it's for your family, if it's for your physical, if it's for your financial need, personally, whatever it might be, that shows what you are most concerned for. And if we start praying for missions and we start praying for God to send out from our midst those that would surrender and yield their lives, it shows that they're, what I am really concerned about is the need of reaching a world that's lost. We need to be aware of that need and pray for it. Then secondly, prayer demonstrates our faith. You know, one of the hardest things I do is pray. It's work. Now, you can say, boy, I'm a prayer warrior and I pray all the time and I don't have a problem. Well, I wish that was true with me. Well, every time it seems like I get ready to pray and I start praying, that's when the devil starts taking my mind, and you ought to be doing this and you ought to be doing that, and the phone will ring and all the rest of the things that go on. And so when I pray, I have to really concentrate on what I'm doing in praying. But why would I spend the time? Why would I spend the effort if I didn't believe that prayers can be answered? God shows us faith. It shows us that we believe that prayer can be answered. Amen. Read through the Bible and how many prayers were answered. When Peter was in prison, the church got together and prayed that he'd be released. And all of a sudden, there was an angel showed up and released him. And he came even to the church, and they opened the door and looked at him, and the young maiden had to go back. She couldn't even believe it. Why? But prayer is answered. We have a prayer-answering God, do we not? We have a God that with him, nothing is impossible. Nothing. Anything's possible. That's why we pray. That's why we get together and we pray. That's why we band together in prayer. That's why we as individuals pray for our family and needs. Why? Because we believe that God can answer prayer. And when I start praying for missions, and I start praying that, Lord, would you send in someone? Would you call out someone? Would you get a hold of someone in their heart and burden them for the lost of the world? I believe God will do it. Why would I want to pray if I didn't believe? You know, prayer, someone once said, prayer is the muscle that moves the heart of God. And that's exactly right. It does move the heart of God. We need to be praying that the Lord will send in laborers into his harvest. And then I think, Lord, prayer produces a commitment. It produces a commitment. When I see the need and I begin to act upon that need by prayer, the Lord begins to say, well, what can you do? How can you help someone? What can you do to help alleviate maybe a burden, a need in their life? And so it motivates me to do something greater. When we pray for someone that's sick, it motivates me to give them a call or to go by and visit them or whatever. If I see somebody with a financial need and I'm praying for it, the Lord can speak to me and say, listen, you have the ability, give them a little bit of help along the way. And it motivates me, it convicts me, it produces in me a commitment to do something. And so as I'm praying for laborers, what I need to do is say, Lord, in the same sense that I'm praying for somebody else to go, I myself ought to be willing to go. I myself ought to say, here am I. That doesn't mean God's going to call us. That doesn't mean God's going to do it. But I believe that we ought to be willing to say, Lord, here am I. What can I do for you? And if you want to use me, I am willing to go. Willing to do what God wants. Charles Spurgeon, the old preacher, famous preacher from England, said this, it is the whole job of the whole church to preach the whole gospel to the whole world. It's our responsibility. Just because we're here does not relieve us of the responsibility to have a part in helping the world to hear the gospel message. That's the part of it. Sending forth laborers from Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, to a world that's lost and dying either by going ourselves or by helping somebody who's been called and surrendered to go as well. John Stott, the old missionary from England, said we must be global Christians with a global vision because our God is a global God. So many times we can be so involved in our own lives and in our own church, in our own ministry, that we forget that there's a whole world around us that's needing to hear the gospel as well. And what can we do? What is our part? How can I help? This month, you're going to be asked to pray about getting more involved. I'm sure most of you already are involved a little bit or doing something for the cause of missions, and that's wonderful. I know this church is a missions-minded church, and that's exciting. But what else can we do? What is God going to allow us to do? Yes, we can give, and we ought to be willing to give what God has blessed us with and to say, I've trusted you with this. Can I trust you for a little bit more this year to send help another missionary go and to get involved more? But then what we ought to do is get back to the fact of saying, yes, I can give, but am I willing to go? Am I willing to go? One thing I love about our mission board is that a lot of our missionaries that we have on our board are not young people. As you can tell, I'm 75 years old. And I'm excited. I'm thrilled. I'm having the time of my life serving in this missions capacity. God can use anyone. If you're still alive and you're still breathing, then God has a purpose for you. And what you could say is, Lord, what would you have me to do? What is it that you want me to do? There's a song that we used to hear, sung many times in churches. I haven't heard it a lot lately. My house is full, but my field is empty. My children all want to stay around my table. No one wants to work in my field. What we ought to say is, Lord, yes, I'm excited about New Testament Baptist Church. I'm glad God led me here, and I'm glad to serve in this church. But, Lord, I don't want to just stay around the table if you want me to go out into the field. I'm willing to do whatever it is God wants me to do. So let me ask you today, have you seen the immensity of the world's mission of reaching a world that's dying, that's lost, perishing? Have you seen the fact that there's an insufficiency of manpower to reach those, to labor in the field? And sometimes it's discouraging. Sometimes it's disappointing. But that's where God ought to call us. And then have you seen the fact of praying and trusting and asking God to do something through you, for you, to the cause of reaching a world that's lost and dying? Have you said, Lord, I'm willing if you want me to go. I'm willing to serve where you want me to serve. Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you for those that have listened. And Lord, I just ask God that you would work in all of our hearts, Lord. Help us to understand that, Lord, there's a lost world, and it's increasing every day. And that, Lord, there needs to be those that are willing to take up the void, fill in the void spaces, and take up the work, Lord, and to get involved. And Lord, I pray that maybe in this building today, Holy Spirit, you might already be speaking to someone to say, Lord, here am I. I'm willing if you'll call, and I'm willing to do whatever it is you want me to do, whether it is serving here in New Testament Baptist Church or to go out and to serve you in the mission fields around the world. I'm willing to go. And Lord, I pray that today maybe someone has been impressed to make it a matter of their prayer life to pray earnestly every day for missions, for missionaries, for new laborers into the field. Lord, whatever you have desired, and Lord, I don't know the needs here in this crowd. I don't know if there's someone here yet this morning that may not know you personally as Savior, that may not have ever trusted you as their Lord and have received the wonderful gift of eternal life. And yet, Lord, that's why we're here. That's one of the reasons New Testament Baptist Church exists, is to reach the people of Hamilton. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would help us this morning. Whatever's needed, as you've spoken to hearts, I pray, God, that you would be working yet and that there would be tenderness. Bless the invitation in just a moment as it's given, that opportunity to come maybe to just get along with you and pray, maybe to pray for laborers, maybe to pray for the needs of the world, Lord, whatever. But just ask God that you would bless the invitation. We thank you and we praise you for it already in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning. Let me ask just a couple of questions before I extend the invitation. I wonder how many of us this morning could say, "Preacher, I know for sure that I've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that if I was to die today, I know that I'm going to heaven." And as a testimony to that, I'd like you to know it. Here's my hand all over the building. I am saved and know it this morning. Here's my hand. God bless you. Thank you for that testimony. You can put them down. That's wonderful. Out of you that just raised your hand this morning, I wonder how many of us would be willing to say, "Preacher, I'm going to be in prayer more for missionaries. This morning I'm going to be more saying, Lord, here am I. If you want me, I'm willing, I'm yielding, because I realize the need." And preacher, I'd like you to know that this morning. I'm going to be praying. Here's my hand all over the building. God bless you. God bless you. Many hands. Thank you for that. God bless you. One last question. I wonder if there's someone here this morning who say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know if anything happened to me today that I would slip out of this life. I don't know that I'd be in heaven. I'm concerned about that. And I wonder if you'd just be my friend and pray for me." Now listen, I'm not going to come and drag you down. I'm not going to call your name. I'm not here to put you on the spot. But I want to be your friend if you'd let me and just pray for you by the need that you have. I wonder if there's one that will just say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Here's my hand." Anyone like that in the building this morning? "I'm not sure 100% that I'm on my way to heaven. Here's my hand." Father, you've seen the hands, you've seen the hearts. Now, Lord, bless the invitation, and we thank you for it. As the music begins to play, if you'll stand to your feet, if you need to respond this morning, altars are open.